This episode of the Kona Edge is brought to you by Wheel Science. If you're looking for world-class carbon wheels that are UCI approved, come with a lifetime warranty and shipped free worldwide, then check out Wheel Science. Get all the performance at half the price, and when you use the coupon code KONAEDGE at checkout, you'll get an extra 10% discount. To learn more, head over to thekonaedge.com/wheels to find out more, or click on the link in your podcast player now. That's thekonaedge.com/wheels.
This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome back onto another edition of the Kona Edge, and it's time to chat some running today. And we head back to Australia to catch up with Sarah Thomas. Sarah, welcome back onto the podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Sarah, let's talk about your run. Out of the three disciplines, it is your strongest, and you tend to run through the field, particularly on an Ironman where everyone else's wheels come off. You seem to get stronger and stronger. What's the secret to putting together a strong marathon at the back of a 180 bike?
I think, you know, pretty obviously the key is, you know, don't smash yourself at the start of the marathon. You've got a long way to go, and just, I like to just ease my way into it and, you know, try not to worry about who else is where, you know, just run your own race. And yeah, I just start out really comfortable and stay really comfortable. And when I know I've got about, you know, 10 or 12 Ks to go, that's when I try and pick it up a little bit and just give whatever else I've got left, really, until I get to the finish line.
Some of us have to wait a bit longer. I wait until I see the red carpet and then I smash it.
Yeah, well, yeah, depending on how.
Sarah, one thing in our first chat, when you spoke about your first Kona experience where you had that horrible bike and you got off the bike feeling terrible, and things sort of came right fairly quickly feeling-wise, but you felt like you weren't going that fast and you ended up having a really good marathon. How big a role does planning pacing in a marathon as opposed to executing on race day? And what I mean by that is, do you go into a race going, this is the pace I'm going to run off the bike, or do you really play it by ear and go, you know what, I'm feeling rough today, I'm going to hang back and see how we go, or do you stick by the numbers and see what happens?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, I'm definitely someone that I do not think, you know, looking at numbers is a very good idea. Like, it's something that I've never, ever, ever done. And definitely going by feel, I would say, is the way to go. Like, yeah, you just, every race is different, you know, conditions are different, like there's so many different factors that can play into it. Like, there's no way that I would go, I want to be running this pace, because I just, you know, and what if the Garmin's got it wrong? What if it's not actually the pace you're running? You know, it's not 100% accurate. But yeah, I think, definitely I just ease my way into it. I just see how I'm feeling. And, you know, like I was mentioning before, you know, that first experience at Kona where I thought I was running really slowly, and I just thought to myself, at least if I'm still running, if I'm still chipping away at it, I'm still going to get to the end quicker than if I walk, even if it is really, 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 really slow. You know, and it ended up not being that bad. So you just don't know. And plus, you know, perhaps the conditions, you know, are affecting everybody, you know, in a similar way. And I think you've just got to keep going, because if you're the one that keeps going and everyone, doesn't matter how slow you are, because you're still going to be in front of the other people. So I'm a big believer in it. Just see how you feel, just, you know, especially when you're running a marathon at the end of an Ironman, you've just got to stay comfortable for the vast majority of it and just see how you go. But yeah, certainly for me, like, looking at numbers would be the worst thing that I could do.
Do you try and get to some point, like, I mean, you mentioned the 10 to 12 Ks again, is that set, or is it by feel again? Like, if you're feeling good at 10 to 12, then you go, or do you hang back as long as you can and then feel like, oh, I've got enough in the tank and then I'm going to hit it?
Yeah, I guess if I wasn't feeling good at that when I, you know, with this sort of 10 to 12 Ks to go, then I probably wouldn't push it at that point, but I haven't had that experience yet, touch wood. Let's hope it doesn't happen this year. But yeah, up until now in an Ironman, I've kind of got to that point, and I've been able, luckily, to actually feel like I'm lifting a bit. Probably the pace doesn't actually increase that much, but what I feel I'm doing is, yeah, I feel like I'm able to push a little bit harder for that last little bit. But yeah, certainly if I wasn't feeling good and I wasn't able to, then yeah, I wouldn't. I'd probably wait a bit longer.
What are some of your favorite run workouts? What do you love doing?
Again, probably short, fast stuff, I think. Yeah, would be a lot of what I do. I did a really good long run set the other day, which was called the Anita Weyman set, which I really enjoyed. So that's basically, it's like a bit of a fartlek session. So you do like, for example, it's, you know, 2 minutes a bit faster and then 1 minute a bit slower, and then it increases to 4 and 2 and 6 and 3 and all the way up to 10 and 5 and then back down. So yeah, a little bit of a sort of pyramid of fartlek intervals, which I really enjoyed. It sort of helps to pass the time a little bit on a longer run. But yeah, generally with running, yeah, again, usually like to keep it short and fast rather than just going for, you know, hours and hours at a time.
Have you changed much now that you've got a coach? Has the type of sessions you're doing in a week and the way you're structuring those sessions changed a lot?
Yeah, I think a little bit, not heaps, but yeah, there's probably more. Like I used to do a few more sort of interval sessions where I was, you know, I'd do like, you know, however many, like 600s or however many K efforts or, you know, whatever. But yeah, it's all continuous running that I'm doing, but still interval work, but just all continuous running now. Yeah, probably a little bit more of it, actually.
Brilliant. Well, Sarah, it's been great catching up once again. I look forward to touching on your nutrition strategy and how you approach an Ironman from a nutrition point of view, but we'll save that for next time.
Okay, thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.
If you've enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge, I want to invite you to check out the Coach Parry Training Club. The Coach Parry Training Club is the essential resource for anyone at any stage of their triathlon journey. Whether you're just starting out in the sport and training for your first sprint distance race, or if you've been around the block a few times and are looking to take your Ironman performance to the next level, then the Coach Parry Training Club can help you. Developed by double Olympic and Commonwealth Games triathlon coach Lindsay Parry and myself, the Coach Parry Training Club is the go-to online platform for your training needs. It's like having a coach in your pocket. Get 20% off when you join the Coach Parry Training Club by using the coupon code KONA at checkout. Head over to thekonaedge.com/coach or click on the link in your podcast player now. That's thekonaedge.com/coach.